You may be seated. As you can tell, I'm not Jerry. They are enjoying some family time today, and so just keep them in your prayers as they travel. But most importantly, I'm so glad you're here to worship with us today. And I know that you're thinking, okay, it's 11:15. How long will he preach? How long do I want to take? No, honestly, God has given me, I've been working on this message for a while. I just find it amazing that Kurt, I think, already had these songs selected weeks ago, and I hadn't even looked at the song list, and the scriptures that God gave me just all dovetail together. So if you heard the verse in song, it's because God wanted you to hear that word today. So if you will, open in your Bibles up to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll be reading verses 6 through 10. 2 Corinthians 9. Verses 6 through 10. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves the person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, godly people give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will never be forgotten. For God is the one who gives seed to the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will give you many opportunities to do good, and he will produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the promises of your word, and Lord, most importantly, for this realization that you provide everything, the air we need to breathe, the food that we need to sustain us, the water that we need, the housing, the protection from that. God, you are all in all. And I just thank you for that and knowing that you are there. And I pray that today, as you give me these words to share, you'll hide me behind the shadow of your cross, for I want nothing to be from my opinion, but Lord, it's totally from you. And we give you praise for this now, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, before I begin this message, let me start by saying this is not a message on tithing and giving. Okay? It is rather a message to show you who is the one blessing you and giving you all that you have so that you can be his vessel to be used by him. Can you turn this down a little bit? I got a little bit of a ring up here, please. Provision is defined as a small amount or thing supplied or provided. Supplies such as food, drink, and equipment, especially for a long journey, better known as life. In all these things, he provides what you need, not what you want, but what you need. Tina and I have used this concept as want versus needs to help keep our balance, our checkbook in balance. It's ringing again, boss. Okay. Is the when we find this item, we look at it and say, okay, is this something we want or something we need? Even if it's on sale or on clearance and I have coupons, does it fulfill a need in our lives? The scriptural basis for the statement that says, God, where God guides, he provides, can be found in Isaiah 58:11. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing stream or spring. So, where was the first place where everything was provided? Eden. So from the very beginning of time, God has provided what man needs. Adam and Eve had the garden. Noah had the plans to build the ark in order to save his family and all the animals. God even provided a wife for Isaac. And he even blessed everything that Joseph laid his hand to do. Even when the devil meant it for evil, God used it for good. And the list goes on and on. That's just in the first book of the Bible. Now, if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, wouldn't you think that he is still doing the same thing today? So I have a testimony about that. As many of you have seen on Facebook, Tina and I had a pole barn built. And we had an electrician that came out. And he gave me a quote on the job. And then when he gave me the bill, there was a discount that said, a discount for pastors. And I thought, wow, I like that. And so it was like $400 cheaper than what he had quoted. Then he just roughed it in. He gave me a quote of what it would be for him to come and wire the barn. And I go, I can do that. And so Tina and I ran all the wires for the light switches and the electrical plugs, because I've been trained by her dad and also my own dad's electrician. So I picked up a few things. Well, I don't do putting it in the service panel. I want someone who's trained and knows what they're doing. So I called this guy out and he said, okay, I'll be there Tuesday morning. He's there at 8:15. I show him the panel. He goes, hey, you did a pretty good job with these, looking at the wires. He said, I'll check them out for you before I get done. And so I left to come to work. And so I get a call that says, or a text, and says, please give me a call. And so I called him, and he said, yeah, there was just one line that you missed that needed to be a continuous run, not broken half. So I fixed that for you. You had plenty of wire. And I said, okay, well, be sure and leave me some of your business cards and put the bill in the garage, and I'll take care of you. I get home, and there's business cards, but no bill. And so I get on, text him, and he says, there's no charge. And I said, wait a minute. You paid for the breakers to put in the mail into the box, and you ran a wire to fix my mistake. I owe you something. He goes, no, just be faithful in what you're doing. God provided. I had the money, but he still blessed me. A provision that I wasn't even counting on. So if you think about it, the first thing God does is always take care of physical provisions. There's a testimony from King David in Psalm 37:25 that says, I have been young and now I am old. Fitting. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for the bread. Again, that's a song that I heard growing up. These are the promises of God, that I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. You may be down today, but help is on the way. If you'll take one step, he'll take two. You'll be amazed at what the Lord can do. Oh, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. A promise from God's word, put to a catchy tune that helps us to remember it and apply it to our own lives. He provides protection and guidance. I mean, turn to Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 and 22. Exodus 13, 21 and 22. It says, the Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day and with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire from its place in front of his people. Can you imagine? You know, I'm not talking about a little flashlight. I'm talking about a pillar. Something that can provide enough light for millions of people. And that's what God can do. And then if you look in Acts chapter 16, let's turn there. Acts chapter 16. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to point out, starting with verse 16. This is where Paul and Silas come and they're preaching in town. And, you know, they're really calling down the power of God. And there's this one girl who keeps interrupting the message. And finally, Paul says, enough, come out of her. And the demons are gone. But the people that were around that girl were upset because she provided them money with her special calling and would foretell people's futures and stuff. So it provided them money. So they went and had them beaten with rods. So I'm not just talking about spanked, okay? And then they were thrown in jail. But if you remember, right around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. You know, growing up, we would sing songs, and it was like every time it got to the key change, we lifted our hands. That was a sign that there was a key change in the song. So imagine that Paul and Silas are in jail. Now, they were in stocks. That means they were on their bottoms, feet locked down, hands chained. And they're singing praises to God. What happens when we face trouble? Do we sing praises to God? We should. Because he will deliver us from whatever situation we're going through. That's why the scripture says, and it came to pass. In this situation, while they were singing, what happened? God rocked the house. Their chains fell off, their shackles opened up, and God was there. And if you go on through the scriptures, it tells us that the jailer came and was shaking in fear because he knew it would be his head if these guys escaped. But Paul and Silas says, no, we're here. And that jailer knew it was God that did it. And so it was a providential moment that they were to be in that spot at that moment so that the jailer and his whole family could come to know the Lord. So God used that situation that, again, the devil meant for evil to do good so that God would be glorified through it. And so we need to look at the same thing. There was I don't know how many of you guys do TikTok, but I've gotten hooked on it a little bit. And there was one where this guy was giving a testimony. He said, have you ever thought that maybe what you're going through is to help someone else? Because then they will come and help you. So who does God provide a lot of times to meet the needs that we're faced with? Can you raise your hand, please? There's a song out that says, you know, why aren't you taking care of this? And who are you going to send for this? And he said, that's why I made you. You're the one to be my hands and feet. But God is still providing the physical provision of protection and guidance. He also provided water and food. If you look back in Exodus, chapters 15 through 16. Have you ever known people to get hungry and thirsty, and then they get hangry, and they start complaining? Oh, I'm hungry. How much longer? Especially from the back of the car. Well, here is Moses leading thousands of people. And they're all complaining, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a branch because they were at this lake that was called Marah, which means bitter. They couldn't drink the water. So you've heard the adage, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. These people didn't want to drink this water. It was nasty. But God said, pick up this stick and toss it in. And when he did, it made it where it was drinkable. You know, those of you who go hiking, and especially Daniel and Pastor Jerry and Brandon, you know, they take those little tablets that they can put in into water that they get out of streams, because you never know where that stream's coming from. But it makes it purified. And then they went on down for a little ways from that lake, and there was this beautiful oasis. Again, God provided the water for them. And it says that he provided the food that they needed. So, what's part of our prayer from the Lord's Prayer? Give us this day our what? Daily bread. Well, in this case, God provided the daily bread called manna. God provided, and they still complained. They were given specific instructions that it will be there every day. Don't take too much. And what happened to those who took too much? What? It soured. It had maggots in it. How many of you would want to reach in the morning to pull out some oats and find maggots in there? No. But he said, I will provide your daily bread. For those of you who are of the early contemporary Christian gospel music, we'll remember Keith Green. And he had a song that says, so you want to go back to Egypt. And it's talking about all the complaints that they had. Well, when he talked about the manna, he had some versions, maybe some new recipes for manna. First, there was manna hotcakes. Then there was flaming manna souffle, manna waffles, manna burgers, manna cotti, and banana bread. Now, we laugh, but you know, some of you who are on a restrictive diet know what it is to have one thing all the time. So God says, I'll provide the meat. Over there in verse 11, again, the people were complaining. And he says, in the evening, you will have meat to eat. And in the morning, you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. So what does he send in? Quail. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to hunt quail, but they like to hide. But think about it. Every evening, a fresh flock of quail come in to feed thousands of people. If they couldn't see God providing, something was wrong with them. I mean, come on. They had water, they had a carb, and they had protein. All those are the important part of a diet. And not only that, just think, they could have taken some of the manna and breaded that quail and made some really good dishes. Now, I don't know about you, but at my house, when Tina makes a Sunday meal and the kids all come over, everybody has to have a spoonful of everything and at least try it. And I have one grandson who always goes, I don't like that. Until he tries it. And he goes, hey, this is good. Think of it this way. Here is your buffet. Even the message that's being prepared now is a special meal. And how many times do we come in and go, that again? We can't. You can have the greatest buffet and be a picky eater and starve to death with what's right in front of you. It would be like me planting my garden in those raised boxes that I built and putting a garden hose over there by it so I can water it, but then walking away and said, well, the plants will take care of themselves. No. I have to go there to provide that and water it and nurture it. And then when you come, if you went to Golden Corral, or Golden Trough, as some people call it, or even go to Ming's down here, and there's a buffet in front of you. But if you walk out hungry, whose fault is it? Your own fault, that's right. So as you look at it, you need to think of how when God provided, it wasn't just in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. When Jesus fed the 4,000, or 5,000, I'm sorry, in verses 13 through 21 of Matthew, when it was first told the disciples, you got to feed these guys, they're going, with what? It would take a lot of money to feed these people. But when they said, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus said, bring it here. Starting with verse 18. Bring them here and then tell the people to sit down on the grass. And Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up to heaven and asked God's blessing on the food. Breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave some of the bread and the fish to each disciple, and the disciples gave them to the people. Please note of this verse here. They all ate as much as they wanted. It wasn't appetizers. They ate as much as they wanted. And if you know, if there were some teenagers in that group, they ate a lot. And then it says they picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. And I'm not talking about cups. I'm talking about baskets. And it said about 5,000 men had eaten and additional women and children. God gave so much of the resources that they had leftovers. So what he did was provide lunch for the next day for the 12 disciples. To show them that he is providing all their needs. Secondly, there's the spiritual provision and protection. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. There we go. It says that we are to put on what? Ephesians 6 is always the armor of God. Yes, it has the instructions for children and parents. But this is where we find the armor of God. It says we are to put on the full armor of God. Verses 10 through 18. And a final word, be strong with the Lord's mighty power. Put on all of God's armor, so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies and tricks of the devil. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. Use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the sturdy belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that will come from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Finally, pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. So we can't just pick and choose which pieces we're supposed to put on, because every piece is very, very important. You have the belt of truth, which holds things up. You have the breastplate of righteousness. You have shoes of the gospel of peace. You have the shield of faith. You have the helmet of salvation. And you have the sword of the word. And I want to point out, there is no back piece mentioned. Breastplate, nothing back here. So, who's got your back? God, but who else? Your brother and your sister, your church family. We should have each other's back. That's why it is so painful when there is infighting in the church and we're not covering each other's backs. Because it comes through grace. We have to be the ones to put it on. We have to daily put it on. Then and only then will we be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And why do we need this? Because it said right there in verse 12, for we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil and in heavenly places. If you don't think that we're in spiritual battles, why do you think this area is so oppressed with the spirit of addiction? Right now, the Henry County 500, the churches that are coming together, that is the focus that they have, to pray against the powers of addiction in our area. It is rampant, folks. And yes, we can have campaigns and everything else, but unless we break that spiritual power that is attacking our friends and family and our neighbors around us, again, it's not against the flesh and blood. But I have seen God deliver people from those addictions. And I believe in that power still today. And when it says that two or three are gathered together and ask anything in my name, it shall be what? It shall be done. That's what we have to believe in. That's how we should be praying. You know, I could easily get on a soapbox right now, believe me, and talk why I feel and believe convicted about not practicing certain holidays or traditions, and even read certain books or watch R-rated movies or horror films. But then it becomes a thing of, well, that's what you believe, and that's your religious upbringing. So instead, I want to pose this question. I'm stepping back off the soapbox and saying this. Is God being glorified in what you're doing, in what you're reading, and in what you're watching, and in what you're saying? Can you answer yes to those questions? Because the devil is doing all he can to desensitize us to the real spiritual warfare that is going on around us. A friend pointed out that C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, The Screwtape Letters, about how we get distracted and how we can waste one of the most precious gifts that we have, which is time. So let me read it to you. Again, from the Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis. you will find that anything or nothing is sufficient to attract his wandering attention. You no longer need a good book, which he really likes, to keep him from his prayers or his work or his sleep, or even a column of advertisements or TikTok or Facebook. In yesterday's paper will do. You can make him waste his time not only on conversations he enjoys with people whom he likes, but also in conversations with those he cares nothing about or subjects that bore him. You can make him do nothing at all for long periods. You can keep him up late at night, not roistering, but staring at a dead fire in a cold room. All the healthy and outgoing activities which we want him to avoid can be inhibited and nothing given in return, so that at last he may say, I now see that I spent most of my life in doing neither what I ought nor what I liked. He's distracting us, folks. It's time for us to come back into focus. Just like with a camera lens, remember? The camera lens has those crosshairs in it. So you get those lined up and you know it's fully focused and picture perfect. I'm calling you out, brothers and sisters, right now, that we focus on what we should be doing. We need to be spending time in prayer. We need to be spending time in the Word. And if these other things are keeping us away from doing that, bring it back in. Because our children are watching what we do. And if we don't make that a priority, then neither will they. And it's not just up on the parents. It's up on us too. It's a church family, because we're supposed to have each other's backs. And when those children were dedicated on this platform, you as a church promised that you would help that family in raising those children so that they will see Jesus in everything that you do and say. We cannot be complacent to that which is going on and just write it off as a part of life. We as a church are called to be the game changers, not changing to be like the world. We should be bringing God's grace and truth and love into the mix. We are called out to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, which is getting rid of the stinking thinking that Jerry talked about last week. It is not about us and what we want, but rather it is what God wants. So let me reread just a portion of the scripture today from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 from a different version. This is from the ESV. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times. Do you hear how many times he's saying all? That you may abound in every good work. It is not just about provision, but rather that provision truly is God's grace. God's grace is freely given to us, and we are to freely give it to others. We cannot truly show God's love if we are giving to just meet a need, but then looking down our nose at someone. Remember, there but for the grace of God go I. This is where the rubber meets the road on showing everyone who we are truly serving. Paul gives us the recipe for success, and Pastor Jerry shared it last week, but it needs to be repeated. So turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Would you stand with me for the reading of this word? This is from the New Living Translation. And Kurt, you can come on up too. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about, what is it? Everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned from me and heard from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. Folks, if we're doing these things, then there's no time for idle talk, because we will be talking about what Jesus is doing in our lives. If we are filling our minds with the good things of God, then there won't be any space at all in there for sinful thoughts to take up residency. And if God's peace is what we need to experience, then we'll be able to share that with others. For this is his protection and provision for our hearts and our lives. God loves you so much. He has given each and every one of you the tools and the provisions in order for you to be able to go through this life's journey. If you are needing anything in your life, you need to take it to him in prayer and believe. Believe that he will provide just what you need. As Kurt talked earlier, it's not just about for our needs. He's providing all of our needs. It's not me, but he fills me up so I can be used by him to touch others' lives. I challenge you today. Ask yourself, what do I have in my hand? What has God blessed me with that I in turn can be used to provide a need for someone around me? So God, as we close out this service, we want you to speak to our hearts. Let us take everything to you in prayer, so that you will be glorified in through everything we do and say. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen.